night. The Lord put him here for PGA. I know it's the middle of football season. I'm pumped for football, too. I love football, but Wednesday night is for PGA. If you try to say any different, I will punch you in the throat. I will punch you in the throat. I'm a large man. I will punch you in the throat. Okay, just don't hit me back. What's up, new guy? I'm the Degenerate 75. I'm a DFS content creator who is here to help you get a little bit better at DFS. I focus on golf, and I focus on football, and soon to be another sport coming in 2024. But you need to know, I'm not going to do it with my picks and plays. I'm just here to help you with a little thing called the process. If you find you like the cut of my jib, I encourage you to check out that schedule right there, you mother father. I do this every Wednesday at 7 o'clock, Lord's time zone. As always, if you don't know what that is, figure it out, dipshit. And you want to know, you got all my football up there, college football, NFL football, showdown. I do it all. The big guy never stops. So prepare, get there. You also want to know the big guy, also not a poor. I will be giving away tickets for every, I don't know, so many likes we get, depending on how many times I see that like button, I'll give away tickets. Matter of fact, editor, just to teach all these slows to get here on time, at 7:03, editor, I want you to draw me a name, all right? That you get to build the lineup with me. We can do any sport, but let's do PGA. Why the fuck not, right? You know what I'm saying? Oh, also, I feel like I've already dropped like 3 F-bombs because you need to know this thing above my head's called the F-counter. I don't want to say it again because I don't want to put another dollar in there. Ah, fuck it. All right, every time I say it, I'll put a dollar in there. At the end, I will draw one of you to play me 1v1. If you beat me, I will give you all the money. As you can see, I played Michael Lee Famina last week. Teddy, what do you think?
Pay that man his money.
I don't think so, Teddy. He never sent me the invite. Another win! Another win I shall never lose and never stop saying fuck because he didn't send me the invite. So thanks, Mike. I will keep my money and not send it to you, mother father. So just make sure you're asking a question over here and that will get you in the chat, okay? I think before we get going, I do need to remind you that I did play at this course 2 months ago. Am I famous? I don't know about that. But, you know, like, I played TPC Summerlin, no big deal. I'm just a normal guy just playing fancy golf courses. That's all I am, okay? So you're going to want to know that I know this course inside out, okay? And if I could just give you one note, I did par the first 4 holes. That is a fact. I have 3 witnesses right there that can confirm it. Matter of fact, I see one of them over here in the chat, DCP in the house, and I can confirm. I did par the first 4 holes, but let's not focus on number 5 and number 6. I made a quad bogey on both of them, okay? We don't need to focus on that part, pal, all right? That's not the part of the story I'm here to tell. Just remember I parred the first 4 holes, which, by the way, number 3 was a par 5 for us, so it was much easier, all right? So I think we need to get going. Here's the first question, new guy. Have you made your lineups yet? You have. I know you have. Every new guy always has. Without fail, every new guy always has. New guy, you can't make your lineup so you watch the stream. There's so much important shit to cover, and I haven't even went over it. Don't be that guy. Don't be that guy. Be better. Be better. All right. Let's see. Looking at the classic slate, we're over here on golf. What do we got? I'll tell you this right now. This shit's starting to piss me off. Look, 13,000 of 14,000. The big $25 basically already full tomorrow. So I don't know how to say this. And I know I got 2 big DraftKings guys that watch this show because they slip into my DMs and they're both very nice guys. But you guys, you got to fucking figure this shit out. This is unacceptable. 100,000 to first and then second place is 25,000. Don't get it twisted. I have won this. I have finished second place in this contest before at the Shriners. I'll never forget old Party Marty rolling in a 39-footer in a playoff to get me second place. And second place was $40,000, which, by the way, was also not a great payout structure, but was sure as shit better than this garbage. I mean, this is almost unplayable when a third of the money goes to first. If you just did the math on this, imagine finishing 8th place in a tournament of 14,000 people and you get $1,000. LOL. This is so bad. Like, if they would just make this 400,000, it would still fill, and they could take that extra 100,000 and make that top 10 payout structure so much more appetizing. It is so deflating to see that. Same thing with the snowman. I like playing in higher entry tournaments because you don't have to hit the absolute nuts to win them or to have a top showing. But once again, a third to first, I'm out like a fat kid in dodgeball, right? The big $5, here's another example, $100,000 prize pool. Oh, you're like, ooh, only 25% first. It's still a terrible payout structure. Look at that. 9th place is $500. If you max entered this, it would cost you $750. You wouldn't even get your money back for finishing 9th out of 23,000 people. Such a terrible structure. All they got to do is just make this like 20,000 up top and then just redistribute that money to these top 10 spots. This tournament could be so much better. Now, the Drive the Green is better than the freaking sand trap, but they're both a sand trap. If you're looking for a good contest, I know, like, I like this 254 max, a nice solid payout structure. Notice only 20% to first, but most of y'all aren't trying to do, you know, $1,000 worth of entries for one tournament, you know, and I'm also not a big fan. I see some people like put one lineup in this. Like, you're such a fucking poor if you put one lineup in this. If you're going to put one lineup in this, just go put a $200 single entry. That is such a better use of your money. Why would you put one in this where other guys can enter four, and then you don't enter the $200 single entry where you could enter the same number of lineups as everybody else? Such a don't be a poor. Don't be a poor and hit the like, not a poor. So the point is there's not a lot of great contests. Of course, the best contest out there is the one that I got created. The only one that doesn't have a piece of shit payout structure is the $10 18 max. I really like this one. 20% to, or 10% to first, half a second to first, just a great payout structure, right? So that if you want to just play a good medium amount this week, you know, to me, a lot, $180 is like a medium amount, but maybe that's a lot to you. So, you know, find something that has a structure like this is what I would say, okay? So that is it. That is contest selection. I know they're not great. Don't worry. PGA will be king again by February, and we will be having all the contests we can get, and I'm going to keep getting in the ear of DraftKings, telling them to make better contests. But I can't be too mean to them, because if you didn't see, they sent me a dope-ass golf bag this week, so I'm not going to shit on them too hot, okay? It's not like the FanDuel, all right? They don't blow that much donkey dick. All right, next question. New guy, are you ready? Here you go. What's the first thing we always check at PGA DFS? That's right. Yeah, you've noticed, because everybody in the industry now knows what weather is. Very good, right? It used to just be, oh, man, weather don't matter. It's an outdoor sport. There ain't no weather out there. And now people are checking it. Now, they still use fucking Windfinder like noobs, but whatever. God bless their soul. God bless their cute little souls, okay? I am not rich, but I am certainly not a poor, and I can afford the $18 a year to get windy, and I can see the most up-to-date projections. You can see we are looking at And look, it's pretty clear that tomorrow morning, not great, Bob. Not great. We're looking at 13 to 16 mile an hour winds with 25 mile an hour gusts. And more than that, it's going to be cold as a witch's tit out there, okay? If you don't know, the desert doesn't hold heat, okay? At night, it gets real cold in the desert. A fun fact I once heard, I've never verified it, more people die of hypothermia in the desert than people die of hyperthermia, because it gets balls cold at night. There's your fact of the day. So it takes a little bit for this course to warm up, and we know that scoring conditions are not good in the 50s. And then when you factor in blustery winds, no thank you. Thursday morning, if you're playing round one showdown tomorrow and you're playing a bunch of morning guys, why don't you just send me some money and I'll send you a free kick in the nutsogram, because that's what you deserve, you donkey dick. But look at this, right around noon, right? It's like those winds die down. They're going to be sustained at about 8 miles an hour, which, you know, I live in Oklahoma. 8 miles an hour is what we call a nothing burger. And it's going to warm up to the upper 60s into the lower 70s. They're going to have good scoring conditions out there. So we're going to have bad conditions in the morning, good conditions in the afternoon. So you think, oh, okay, so I'm going all PMA, guys, right? That's what I'm doing? Well, if it's showdown, I think that that's probably a good play. But we're here to talk about week-long, a.k.a. kicking the nuts, okay? And you have to look at 2 days. So let's switch over to the Friday forecast. And you can see Friday, those winds aren't coming through, right? And you say, oh, so I'm definitely going PMAM, guys. It's not that simple, all right? I do agree that Friday morning will be easier than Thursday morning, but it's still going to be pretty chilly out there. It's going to be in the 50s and 60s when a lot of those guys are starting their rounds. And they're probably not going to hit the peak scoring conditions until right around the same time Friday afternoon, around noon, right? So this is what you need to ask yourself, right? Do I think the best scoring conditions we will see Thursday and Friday will be Friday afternoon. I think those will be the mint scoring conditions. But at the same time, I think the worst scoring conditions will be Thursday morning. I think that Thursday afternoon and Friday morning will be above average to good scoring conditions. So it becomes very simple. When you're trying to play a weather edge this week, you need to ask yourself this. Do I want both of my guys' first rounds to be in above average slash good conditions, or do I want them to have one round that's going to be in some shit and one round that's going to be in nutted conditions, okay? Only you're going to know the answer to that. Because if they can go out there and post a decent score Thursday morning, they're going to have the nutted round out there on Friday, or nutted conditions out there Friday afternoon. So that could be, if they can survive Thursday morning, AM PM guys do get a wave edge. But if they go out there and they get kicked in the nuts Thursday morning, which I think the course is probably going to play right around even par Thursday morning, which is crazy hard for this course, because this is not a hard course, all right? So if it's playing around even par, those guys in the afternoon, I mean, a lot of those guys going out Friday afternoon could be like one over from their Thursday morning round, and they got to get to -4 or -5 to make the cut. That's a lot of pressure to put on yourself. So all of this is a long way of saying you need to choose which weather edge you want to go. I would tend to say that PMAM guys always seem to have a slight advantage, right? We'll look at the wave edge here in a minute. And if I had to guess, I would guess that the PMAM guys will probably get about a half a stroke advantage over the AMPM guys. That would be my projections based on wind. And we all know that I get off the wind, okay? But it is also not that easy, because if Thursday morning ends up not being so bad, I do think Friday afternoon will be the best scoring conditions. So really ask yourself, do I want my guys out there in the best conditions, or do I just not want them out there in the worst conditions? And that's your answer to how to play the weather. Okay, or you can just ignore it, which is actually dumb as shit, because as you can see, when there is a wave edge present, the people in the good wave make it. The punts make it a cool 11% more frequently through the cut than the other side, than the guys who are in the bad wave. The studs, weirdly enough, it's almost a 20-point disparity between them. So getting guys, if you really have conviction that PMAM is going to be the better wave, well, then you should have something like 60%, 70, 80% of your player pool from that, because that is how much that is going to benefit you playing the guys in the better wave edge. If you think it's going to be AM PM, well, then go do it the other way, right? So there you go. But just to ignore that weather exists, or that there could be wave edges, or it's too hard to predict, no one can predict the weather, says only fucking morons, okay? Just know that, all right? Also, if you want to know, I need projections to let me know. Well, imagine there was a guy named Degenerate75 who was partnered with the best optimizer out there called The Solver, and he put in all of the tee times, all of his projections, all of his ownership, all of his ceilings for not only week-long, a.k.a. kicking the nuts, but round one, round two, round three, and round four showdown. Imagine if there was a sweaty fucking tryhard that did that for every tournament, a guy that doesn't take off the Ryder Cup, a guy that doesn't need to wait on other people's projections because he does this crazy thing called making his own. So imagine that guy existed, and you could have access to his projections and the best optimizer out there. All you simply got to do is go right here. You're like, man, I can't afford it. Dude, it's $24.99 a month. And not only are you getting all my projections and ownership, you are getting the optimizer, which will make the best versions of your player pool so that you can compete and be successful at PGA DFS. Just make sure you sign up using that Showdown Hodown symbol if you want my projections already loaded, and it lets them know I sent you. I appreciate you. Let's move on. Getting to the pivot tracker, okay? We tracked it last year, the old pivot tracker, because we always need to ask this question. Hey, you always say don't play chalk, man. First of all, I've never told you who to play and not to play ever in my mother, father life, okay? So you can get the hell out of here with that. Second of all, we want to know, does fading the chalk actually pay off, or is it bad? So our three chalk donkeys last week were Ludwig Eberg, Sam Stevens, and MJ DeFew birdies in his whole round. And you can see two of them missed the cut. Just terrible donkey chalk out there as Stevens and DeFew. Oberg went ape shit. So you can see overall it was a pretty mixed bag, right? Oberg blitzed the two pivots off of him. And Stevens and DeFew both got, outperformed by their pivots, right? Which is no surprise. So what I would tell you is what I always tell you. Not all donkey chalk is created equally. It is particularly egregious to be eating low 7K donkey chalk as opposed to top-end donkey chalk, because that top-end donkey chalk are usually really, really good players who have incredible win equity, who have incredible top 10 equity, and very rarely miss the cut. So you got to remember, not all chalk is created equally, and not all donkey chalk is created equally, okay? Let's get over to ownership for this week. We are going to be looking at our ownership and seeing what kind of chalk these guys are. And for the second week in a row, I have Ludwig Eberg projected to be. I got to come up with a better name for him. I'm going to come up with a nickname. I just got to fill him out a little bit longer, okay? He is coming in at 28%, right? Just under 28%. And he's just a guy that everybody played last week, and he did well for him. And he's, in my opinion, definitively the best golfer in this field. Tom Kim's the only one that even holds a candle to him. And so with that, at 28% being noticeably higher than the other guys who are in the 10K, everybody except Tom Kim, but you got to look at it in totality. I think we're left with no choice. Ludwig, you know I love you, brother. And I still might play you. I still might play you, but that doesn't change the fact that you are
the man's donkey chalk, and we don't play donkey chalk.
We don't do that, except when they're the best player in the field. Then we at least consider it. We at least consider it. Let's move on to Tom Kim, coming in at a smooth 25% or just below. Once again, you got to remember that these guys up here. Oh, wait, I didn't color it? What did I do here? What did I not? Boom, color. There we go. First, it's my first time, my first stream ever. All right. Tom Kim coming in at 25%. Once again, you're like, well, he's lower than Eberg, so he can't be donkey chalk. I know the rules. Nope, that's not how it works, new guy. It's about what he is relative to the other people around him. If you go compare him to the other guys up there like Cam Davis and JT Poston, he is legit like two times their ownership. So I'm left with no choice. As good of a player as he may be, Tom, you know I love you, brother, but you, sir.
The man is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
We don't do that. That's Donkey Chalk, except when he's Tom Kim. Then we give it a strong consider. Then we give it a strong consideration, pal. Moving on from there, we have old Andrew approaching him, who was playing really well 2 months ago, and everybody seems to think that it was last week and that he could possibly never do bad this week because he was playing good 2 months ago, which is some really weird logic to me. I get it. This is probably going to be a putting contest. He literally has Putnam in his last name, Putt in his last name, but I don't give a shit. That man right there is the definition of...
The man is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
That is some gross Donkey Chalk. We don't play that. Except when we do. Okay, he does have Putt in his last name. Moving on from there, Siwoo Kim, he's at 18%. I think Siwoo could definitely win this tournament. I love me some Siwoo Kim, okay? But you also have to look that a lot of those guys in the 9Ks where he is at, a lot of them are coming in 8, 9, 10, 11%, and he's up there damn near 18, 19%, almost 2X a lot of their ownership. So I get that a lot of the ownership of Oberg, Kim, and Kim are basically just coming because they're the most expensive guys and people inherently spend all their money in their lineups, so those guys are going to soak up some ownership. But I think you would be a fool to notice that he is at least twice the ownership of guys directly next to him, and he is not twice as good a golfer. So it's a great remorse, Siwoo. You know I love you, but man, you are.
The man is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
A lot of Donkey Chalk this week. A lot of Donkey Chalk. Ryan Scott, I see you over there in the chat. That's already what I have. I actually almost made a video over that today. Okay, JJ Spahn coming in at 17%. I mean, look, this Spahn, Shank, Hoagie, Svensson, this whole range here, I are all right there on the cusp of Donkey Chalk. But because they're all in the 8Ks and they're all floating within a couple percent of each other, it just seems to me as though people really want to build by grabbing either Aberg or Kim up top and then dropping down and getting 2, 3, 4 of these guys down here in the 8Ks. So I think all of these guys, I don't love it, so I think I'm just going to give them, it's a little chalky for my taste, but I get it if you want to play it. Cam Davis coming in at a smooth 15% flat. You think, oh man, it's a 15%. That's got to be chalk. Matter of fact, it's not chalk at all. When you compare him to Aberg and Kim, he's actually a huge discount on ownership, and I would consider him more of a pivot. So people that want to call Cam Davis chalk just don't understand the term. It gets on my nerves so bad. If you're going to call him chalk, the man is at worst.
Okay.
He's only chalk, all right? He is okay if you want to play him. If you love Cam Davis, the fact that he's a little overpriced, I think you go play him, and you'd be happy about it because you're going to get him a discounted ownership. Our last guy on the list that's not an honorable mention is old Dumpy Bo. I love Dumpy Bo. Hey, Dumpy, how'd that game go between OU and Texas? All right, sorry. I'm still pumped. I don't give a shit if it's a golf show. I'll do whatever I want. Forgot I still had that on there. That was spur of the moment. Dumpy Bo coming in at 15%. I think he's a lot like all these other guys. People just want to get into this 8K range, so I'm going to give him... I don't love it. I don't love it, but I get it. And then lastly, we get down here to Matthew Neesmith, who has impeccable course history, who has actually been trending well. I've been on the Matthew Neesmith train for a while, waiting for that breakout. So, of course, this 1 week that I fucking fade him will be the week that he finally goes apeshit, right? But when a guy is around 13, 14, 15%, and they're in the low 7Ks, I told you this shit last week with MJ Defew. There's no such thing as safe. And anytime a guy is 15% in the low 7Ks, you are always making the wrong play. And Matthew Neesmith might go win this tournament. He might get third place. He might be a part of an optimal lineup. And you're like, see, I had to have him. No, dude, you're missing the point. For every time one of these guys does well, there's 15 of them that shit the bed, and you could have easily made a pivot and got on better plays. You keep doing you, boo. But in the meantime, this guy right here is the definition.
The man is Donkey Chalk, and we don't play Donkey Chalk.
So gross. Not all Donkey Chalk is created equally. Low 7K Donkey Chalk is particularly horrible. You do you. You play your own game. But to me, the answer is I try to decipher what is Donkey Chalk that I need to play and what is Donkey Chalk that in no way, and on any way in this world would I ever play, and that is the ones I fade, okay? Which last week was basically every week in the 7Ks, and I got to watch everybody's tears go roar, 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 roar. All right, there you go. That's ownership. But of course, people are watching this show. People are watching Tambo and Andy. And they are seeing that where people are projected, and they're going to move, right? And if people are going to change ownership, some people are going to get steamed up tonight. Some people are going to moonwalk. Here are my predictions. God, I am fucking struggling tonight on who I think is going to get chalked up. By the way, don't forget to hit that like. I see we're almost to 100 over there. So Adam Hadwin is a guy coming in at just 10%, a dude with impeccable course history here, right? And people love a good course history, and Adam Hadwin kills easy courses. I cannot believe for the life of me that he will only be 10%. I think we check in tomorrow. He's going to be 15 or 16%. He really strikes me as a guy that will definitely get steamed up tonight. I have Adam Hadwin coming in probably a lot higher than where my projection showed, simply just because I know how the Reptilian 9 works. Next is Garrett Keogh, another guy I only have coming in right at 10%. Garrett Keogh was a dude that was popular last week, and he didn't do great, but he also didn't shit the bed. It's not like he missed the cut, right? Garrett Keogh, you know me. I love to play Garrett Keogh at Showdown. Don't normally play him at week long, but he is an elite golfer. He is an elite golfer in this field, right? He is a guy that can go nuclear hot, and we know he plays well at easy courses, and that's check, 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 right? So, Garrett Keogh is a guy that I think people are going to realize he's not playing bad. He didn't screw him that bad last week, and you're going to see him come in 13, 14%. So, that man is going to get steamed up tonight is my prediction. Lastly, we have S.H. Kim, a guy that I was super excited about to play after he let everybody down last week, right? I'm going to play S.H. Kim and be like, so different. Okay, no, you're not. And he missed the cut, and right? He was like one of the few expensive guys that actually missed the cut last week. So I was thinking, ooh, I'm going to get a $2,000 discount and get a real sneak with S.H. Kim. But he is coming in at probably about 9 or 10%, which is disappointing. I was hoping I can get him at 4 or 5. But I think people are going to realize, wait, I was going to play him last week at 9,400 or at least considered him at 9,400. And now that he's 7,600 in a field that's relatively the same, I'm going to treat him like a $2 whore? I don't think so. And so because of that, I think SH Kim tonight, we see him get steamed up a little bit. But if people are steaming up, there's got to be people moonwalking. So here are some people that I think that we will see come in at lower ownership than we are projecting. I currently have Adam Svensson right in that 13, 14% range. But once again, as we just looked at over here on the ownership, look at all these guys in the 8Ks, right? Somebody's got to get squeezed. Not all of these guys can come in. By the way, I have Svensson at 15%. So it's Svensson. I just think that he will be the one guy that will get squeezed out of all that group. So because he is in the middle of a bunch of other guys that are going to be relatively chalky, I think we see him. Thank you, Michael. Moonwalk tomorrow. From there, Ben Griffin. Did you know he was an accountant? Did you know that? That's such a great start, man. Ben Griffin did well last week, right? Yes, he choked on Sunday. It was very sad. I wanted to see him win. I like the guy. I like the cut of his jib, all right? But people are going to remember that he melted down on Sunday. They're going to remember that he didn't win when he basically had like an 80% chance of winning. And they're going to say, oh, that guy's emotionally broken. And people don't like to go back to people that are emotionally broken. So my prediction is Ben Griffin is going to be single-digit ownership tomorrow, which is a pretty bold call. So I think he's going to moonwalk pretty hard. Thanks again, Mike. And lastly, Cam Davis. I currently have him. You saw it 15% on there. But here's the thing. I think people are really going to want to get up to Oberg and really get up to Tom Kim. And if they're going to not play them, they're going to go down to Siwoo Kim. And so that leaves him getting squeezed. And I just don't think he will get to 15%. I think he'll be right there around JT Poston in that 11 or 12% range. That's why I'm telling you, if you like Cam Davis, I think you play him and you feel very, very confident about it. So because of that, I think my boy Cam Davis, dude's moonwalking. All right. I don't know if I've told you guys this, but I have played like TPC Summerlin before. So like, am I an expert on the course? I don't know about that, but like, I know it pretty well. I'm basically a member at TPC Summerlin because I played it this summer. Anyways, I did play it. It was an awesome course. It was an awesome experience. Thanks again, D-Seep and Scott. And I guess Jamie, although I fucking had to lug him along. But it was fun. I did play it. I honest to God did par the first four holes. By the way, no one else was parring a lot of holes except D-Seep. Guys, good golfer. Fact of the day. All right, with that in mind, let's go get at the model. Because I played the course, I'm basically an expert at making my model. I think you got to realize, new guy, models at this time of year, they're just horrific, right? Because it's pulling a lot of data from shit that's 3 or 4 months ago, right? People are treating Andrew Putnam like the second coming of Christ because of shit he did 3 months ago, okay? I don't give a shit what he did 3 months ago, okay? Unless he got a haircut, I can't believe that he's gotten any better at golf, all right? So what you have to look at is more long-term generic stats. You can't look at recent approach because it could be pulling stats from July, right? You can't look at who's been ball striking recently because unless they played Fortinet and Sanderson, even if you look at a 12-hole sample, it's still likely going to be pulling shit from August. So you got to be very careful with what you look at in the model. And I think that in, at least for one more week, we have to downgrade the importance of the model in our decision-making, okay? With that said, here's some things that I decided to look at. I looked at par fours, those 400 to 450. Those are most of the scoring holes on this course on easy conditions. Who scores on those easy, medium par fours? I looked at bob gain, that's birdie or better gained on easy courses, ops gain, because you're going to need a look, you want your guy to have like 14 birdie putts around and he makes like six of them. That's what you need, okay? So I need guys that are giving themselves opportunities. Opportunities are putts from the fringe or the green within 15 feet, right? So you know, those guys make that probably like, you know, five or six of those around. I would make zero of them. I looked at bent grass putting. If this is going to be a putting putt-off, I need to know guys who can putt well on bent. I didn't value around the greens or driving hardly at all this week, but I do think that greens and regulation is imperative. If you're scrambling around here, your ass is cooked anyway. So I did look at good driving. I looked at just total strokes gained on easy courses, and I looked at two key proximity ranges. That 125 to 150, I think there's going to be a lot of shots in there, which for those guys is probably just a wedge. That 200 yards, because you are going to need to score on those long par fives, all right? I also tossed course history on there, and let's look at the model. Shocking! Just shocking! I made a model in Tom Kim and Aberger 1 and 2. How do I do it with my models? A true genius of my time that I can make models where clearly the two best players are 1 and 2. I'll never know how I do it. I'm a generational talent. There's no other way around it. When it comes to model making, generational talent. Get a little parched. All right, let's talk about the model here. And some guys that are in it. Once again, I think JT Poston is a dude I really like. He's going to be low-owned, and the model likes him. He does a lot of things well, right? But the fact is JT Poston should not be 10,000 in this field. JT Poston should be like 9,100, right? So because he's more expensive actually makes him more appealing to me because it is going to drive ownership off of him, right? I've already told you that I think Cam Davis and JT Poston are going to get squeezed because Aberg, Kim, and the other Kim, Siwoo, are all going to get ownership. I love this range right here for pivoting. After Kim, it's like no one wants to touch this 9,000. Cole, the Hogard, the Pimp Man, Griot, Hadwin are all, and Herbert are all going to be low-owned, right? And then once you get down here, then you start seeing a little bit more. People are going to play Shank, Spawn, stuff like that, old cheesesteak Hoagie. What amazes me is the model loves Aaron Rye, and I love Aaron Rye, right? I get that it's probably not going to rain, so his two gloves isn't going to be a huge advantage, but Jesus, I think Aaron Rye's a legit golfer. I do like him more on tough courses, but if nobody wants to play old Aaron Pumpernickel, I'll slather some butter on his ass and eat him up. From there, Andrew approached him, probably should be about $600 more expensive than he is in this field, so he will be very popular. You can't overlook the fact that he has Putt in his last name. That's a narrative I'm going to run with. It's got you agree, guy in the back? He's been on one this week. I apologize for him. Dumpy Bo's going to get a little ownership, but the 7Ks this week, there's not as many ownership pooling to just four guys like we always see. Yes, there's going to be some guys get ownership. Davis Thompson, Patrick Rogers, S.H. Kim, Ben Griffin, they'll all get a little bit of ownership, right? But there's not a lot. Oh, Sam Ryder is another one that'll get some ownership, and Neesmith. But it's not like the other guys are all 2%, right? You're not going to go play Sam Stevens and get him at 2%. Taylor Pendrith probably will be the lowest owned guy in the mid-7Ks. But I just feel like there's a lot of chances to go grab Austin Eckroat, Strillman, Hardy, Champ, Taren, Stallings, Pan, Quest, all these guys I have like under 6% ownership, which is dramatically lower than a lot of these other ass clowns around here coming in 11 or 12%. And let's face it, all these guys are the same motherfather golfers. All right? They're all the same. And if you want to convince yourself that they're different, you're wrong. Looking at some sleepers, give me all the Hayden Buckley because he Hayden Fuckley to everybody in the field last week. So if he's going to do that, give him to me after. Like, I hate that guy. He screwed my lineup last week. You're the guy that played an 18% owned dude, you donkey. Don't be mad at him. Be mad at yourself. I never minded MJ DeFew bouncing back after he let all you donkeys down. And here's a sleeper that I was considering, old Troy Merritt. If you don't know, Troy Merritt had the yips about 3 months ago, right? And Troy Merritt had always been an elite putter who could not putt to save his life anymore. And I kept asking myself, what the hell is happening here, right? And the last two tournaments, he has been killing it at putting. And his approach game, other than last tournament, has still remained good. So if he's going to continue to have hot irons and has his putter back, I think he merits a pick. Thank you. I earned that one. Okay, another merit joke. I doubled down on it. Going from there, you know, guys like EVR, to me, anytime it's a birdie fest, I always got to consider a guy like EVR, Shelton, Duncan. These are just guys that, like, I know can get hot at these courses. I do prefer most of these guys in showdown over week long, but I think they could get there. I'll keep saying this till I'm blue in the face. Joel Dahman is a more talented golfer than all these ass clowns. Is he ever going to stop being a jaded 13-year-old that's like, I don't want to, like, try and stuff because, like, I don't know what life is? I don't know. Maybe he'll just keep doing that shit forever for Netflix. But if he ever just starts playing like a grown-ass man again, he will be better than all of these golfers. From there, Ryan Moore, I you know, like, because I've been to the course and stuff. I know he's a member because, like, I saw his bag up there. He asked for my autograph, and I was like, Ryan, I don't do that. No. He is a member there. He did go to UNLV, which I believe is in Las Vegas, is it? Yeah, it is. So, you know, I don't always like the home course narrative, especially for studs, because I think a lot of times it can act as a distraction. But for a guy like Ryan Moore, ain't nobody wanting to do Ryan Moore interviews, okay? And lastly, I found this young whippersnapper down here named Lexi Thompson. You should play her. Play every lineup. Play her in every lineup. Do it. You're doing the Lord's work. If I swear to God, if you play Lexi Thompson, you are beyond stupid. Don't be cute. Be like, I'm just having some fun. Well, then don't bitch when you lose at DraftKings all the time, okay? That is the dumbest play of all time. And the fact that DraftKings thought that there was 9 to 10 golfers below her is just astronomical. Just astronomically stupid, all right? There you go. That is the model. That is a breakdown of some ownership, some pivots to consider. Oh, just a couple more. I think Akshay Bhatia is pretty interesting right there. Look, anytime the course is easy, give me some old Akshay. And let me just put this out there one more time. Could Taylor Montgomery secretly be back? I don't want to believe, but maybe he could. All right, Luke List coming off a win. Bad spot, but you know what? Not many people are going to have him on their list. So, once again, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. All right, that brings me to the one guy I am definitely playing. Well, nope, the one guy I'm definitely not playing. The one guy I'm definitely not playing is, well, it's tricky. There's a lot of guys I want to fade this week, and the one guy I decided that I'm not playing is a guy that I already see getting a little bit of ownership, and if I know anything about you donkey dicks, you'll just continue to steam him up overnight. I was going to put him on my Steam list. Did I put him on my Steam list? No, I didn't. Okay, but he should have been on there. And I think he's going to be steamed up come tomorrow. And there's no, I wrote down a little note about this guy. The one guy, let me read the note real quick. It says, don't play him. He's a fucking loser. Oh, yeah, the one guy I'm definitely not playing is Patrick Rogers. What is wrong with you? Patrick, go get yourself in that trap, okay? I also wrote down another little note. I would rather take a soldering iron to the nutsack than play a chalky Patrick Rogers. There you go. I don't know why I wrote all that down, but I did. So the one guy I'm definitely not playing is Patrick Rogers. You go on ahead. He'll be in second place come Saturday morning, and you'll be like, ha, 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 he's so good, I thought he sucked. Let's just wait and see. All right, let's see at the end of the tournament who has the last laugh, because I've been having the last laugh on Patrick Rogers for about 4 years now, okay? So, Let's see. I think the more important question here is, who is the one guy I'm definitely playing? I gave a lot of thought to this one. The one guy I'm definitely playing, you know my narrative that when it comes to the swing season, you need a guy. I want a young upstart, somebody who is going to get a huge breakthrough win and become a future star. And when I look at this field and I say, who is a up-and-coming, who is going to be a big star, I see the guy that it's going to be. I think that he is a guy whose game fits this course. He has played well here before. But really, if I want a narrative, I think the best narrative this week is TPC Summerlin that's just outside of Las Vegas. And when I think of Las Vegas, I think of two things. First of all, I think of craps. So watch out for old cheesesteak hoagie, am I right? But the second thing I think of, if you've never been to Las Vegas, there's a lot of ladies in Las Vegas. And when I talk about ladies, I mean ladies of the night. And there's a lot of them, and I'm worried for them this weekend. A lot going on around there. So if there's going to be all these ladies of the night running around, well, I think they're going to need some protection. And so I think I know who I'm finally going to play this week. Let's see here. Let's see what the editor cooked up for us. The one guy I think I'm going to play this week, well, with all these ladies of the night around, we need somebody to protect all these hoes. And who can guard the hoes better than my boy Hogard? His name is Nikolai Højgaard.
Fuck them, fuck them, love them, leave them, cause I don't fucking need them. Take them out the hood, keep them looking good, but I don't fucking feed them.
I need somebody I can ride with this week. What's the who's the one dude I'm gonna ride with? The word, bitch. Who's gonna get it done for me? Let's go.
Check them out now.
Come on, guy in the back.
Check them out now.
What are we doing? We doing big pimping. Big pimping up at TPC Summerlin. The one guy we are definitely playing this week, we're playing Nikolai Højgaard. Protect the Hoos. Let's go. All right, let's get to some questions. But before we do, check out my site, DGEN75.com. Am I here to just put on shows? No, I do know a little bit about DFS, and I have built quite the community when it comes to DFS. I do football, I do golf, and soon to be another sport. I highly encourage you to check it out. It is not about me and my screenshots. You'll never see me on Twitter flexing because I'm not a fucking loser. So what I do is celebrate all the winners of my community. Look at all these incredible hits just from last week. All those motherfathers flying the flag. It is what it is all about. It's about building a process, making it sustainable, finding out how to get your money in plus EV and having fun with DFS instead of guaranteeing that you'll get winners and all that stupid shit. Oh, yeah. And I have the best tool out there. I do this for all my sports. This is called the Rosetta Stone that has everything you need to know to make informed decisions, from optimal rates to projections to win equity to make cuts to waves to leverage plays to sleepers to every freaking thing you need. Okay. So with that in mind, I encourage you to check it out. If you want to see what it's all about, but you don't want to pay, I get it. Simply sign up for my newsletter. Let the editor know, which is right here, the Twitter, at SupportDGEN75. Let them know that you signed up for the newsletter. They'll give you a free week on the website, okay? Editor, let's get to the drawing. I see at least two names we need to draw. We're already up to 106 likes. Let's see if we can get even more. By the way, who won the drawing earlier? I didn't even see. Editor, did you ever do the drawing at 7:03? I told him to do it. You guys heard me. What the hell? Oh, Brian John won. Old Bijan. Bijan. Hey, old Bijan Robinson in the house. All right. Editor, draw me two names, and then I want the third name to be the guy who's going to play me for the F counter. So we actually need three names. While he does that, I'm going to start answering questions. I'm not as out of breath tonight, okay? I will tell you, Jay-Z does not smack as hard as old Rammstein, okay? Only took me 3 days to recover from that chest burn. All right, we've got Bryant, you have one. Edward Salgado. All right, and Ronnie Lee, send me a 1v1. We're going to play for this money in the fuck counter, which I know. By the way, I hope my dude Bill is here. This is called the Lucy Multiplier. That is his daughter who said that I never put enough fucks in there. So I'm going to do a couple extra. We're going to call that the Lucy Multiplier from now on, okay? I got to remember these things. All right, by the way, thanks again for those super chats. I see you, Ronnie Lee. Hey, Ronnie Lee, you win right after you give me a super chat. Tell me this thing's not rigged. Tell me it's not rigged. Nick won last week. Now he's giving super chats. Something's going on here. Something's going on. Pimpin' ain't easy. Boats and hoes. Yeah, I love that movie. All right, going to the questions. Getting to the questions, and I got to get out of here. I got a hot date with my dinner. I love me some food. Okay, because I'm like 1940s buff fat guy. I like to lift weights and eat too much food. All right, time for the best DFS sport. Brian, I completely agree. I have been enjoying NFL DFS more this year than I ever have. You know I love college football DFS, but nothing holds a fucking candle to PGA DFS. It is definitively the best sport. We get to wait all week for it, and then when it's here Wednesday night, it's like, it's golf time. And then we get to enjoy it the next 4 days. If it goes well, we're going to get 4 days of entertainment. If it doesn't go well, we got motherfather showdown. What a life! All right. Tiger Woods this week. I'd take him over Lexi Thompson. Amy thoughts. Ooh, who's Amy? Any thoughts on Novak or Lauer? I mean, like, I think they're both. If you're making me pick some 1% punts, both of those guys would be on a top 10 list for me. James, don't recognize your name. Romanowski, don't punch me in the face. College football now. Yeah, you're right. There you go. Justin Suh for the win. I mean, look, if it's going to be a putting contest, you always have to consider Justin Suh. I think he is legit a top 5 golfer in the world. But gosh dang, his tee to green game is so bad. I mean, he hits irons like I do. Like, if me and Helen Keller had a child, it would be Justin Suh. Okay. How's it going? Good. Better now that you're here. Let's see, my boy Jay Bukowski. If you play the course, do you borrow from your annoying neighbor's stick and avoid the rock rash? If you play this course, do you borrow your annoying neighbor's stick to avoid rock rash? What's rock rash? Is that like whenever you hit the ball into the stuff? Because what we did is we just made an agreement that you get to move it to the grass next to it, okay? Plus, after I made a quad on number 5 and number 6, which, by the way, Scott told me. Scott's the guy that got us on the course. That number 6 is the hardest driving hole on the PGA Tour, and I piped it 260 right down the middle, and I still made a quad because that green complex was insane. All right, number 6 will kick you in the dick. And I flushed that 7-iron, but I flushed it up on the hill above. Then I tried to chip down. I was trying to perfectly chip it, and then I fluffed it right in front of me. Then I chipped it again, rolled it off. Then I 3-hit it back up the hill. Then I finally got it on. I 3-putted for an 8. Let's go. All right, nice DraftKings bag. Did you under 94? No. What did I play? I it was actually, I got to the 17th hole before I made my first double bogey. I thought Caddy Air was going to be my first round ever without making a double bogey or worse. And then I got to 17, I double bogeyed, and I said, well, dreams are meant to be shattered. Still wasn't a good round. A lot of bogeys, just no big numbers until 17. So I think I shot 89 probably. Love Poston this week. I think Poston's a really good pivot up top. I don't mind him at all. Will Oberg be neutralized without his biggest weapon, the driver? I've heard that narrative a lot, Andy, but I feel like a lot of times that can get overdone. I just think Oberg's a fucking better player than all these people, right? I do agree his best weapon is his driver, but like, I think he's probably we just see so much of that that we don't realize that the other parts of his game are probably superior to these other guys too. I'm not letting that narrative get me off of him if I like him. How much are you factoring in ATG this week? Exactly right. Negative 0.00. That's a pretty good number. F count are pretty low, right? Yeah, I did the Lucy multiplier for you, Nick. Have you hit the like button yet? Yeah, let's see if we can get up to, what? Let's do 125 likes, and then I'll do another drawing, because why not? First round leader for tomorrow? Give me Luke List. I always love a winner coming off of a tournament that nobody wants to play. They always seem to do good round one. So give me Luke List. I'll do that. By the way, Delbert, I met with my team today, and I think I'm going to start covering more PGA betting come January. All right? The big guy's branching out. I hate to admit it, but I'm the PGA guy, right? You got to just know who you are. Hey, Dave, what's up? Don't recognize the name. Glad to have you, bro Cephas. What's up? My blood pressure after dancing to that song. All right. You want golf glove shopping with Aaron Pumpernickel? No, I can't afford that. Two gloves every time I play, I'd be broke. That guy's a PGA player. He can afford that. Bucket hat gang. That's right, dude. I rock the bucket hat. I'll put that picture up for you. We rolled deep with it. It was hot. That was like early August in Las Vegas. I think it was like 106 that day. Okay, I had to freaking bribe D-Seep to get out there. He's like, I don't play in the heat. I'm like, come on, man. What I gotta do? All right, can't wait for this video. I hope it was good. We always put a lot of time into it. Even in the swing season, we don't mail it in. Big guy comes hard. What is more important, putting or approach? Both. Why did the contest this week? I think they're the same as last week, but I thought after they filled last week, they would have been bigger this week, Christian, and they're not. I mean, look, the $25 already about to fill. The $5 already filled. I know you're watching me, CG. I know you're watching me. I know you watch my show. Make better contests next week. I'll help get them filled, all right? We're on the same team here. In golf, do you play cash or GPPs or a mix of both? So in golf, I'm only GPPs. I do want to start mixing in more cash, but I think that's going to be more at showdown than at week long. Although I will tell you, I am interested in running a little bit of a cash lineup this week and running PMAM, as I do think there could be a bit of a weather edge. And if you just get six guys through the cut, you have a massive edge, bub. We have any interest in length off the tee this week? I think that there is a place for that to have an advantage, but this is a course that it's not as big of an advantage as others. So I'd say minimal amount. Has the new guy in the back hit the like button? He's still asleep. He didn't even dance to Big Pimpin'. My God. Any idea why Asians do so well here? I mean, it could just be that a lot of them play at this tournament, right? This is a lot of Asian players. This is where they get their card and make a lot of their points and stuff is in the swing season. So that could just be, you know, that could just be the a practical reason to probably what is just a narrative, right? What type of greens at Summerlin? They are bent. Okay. Do 20% owners in the hoagie realize that he loves playing craps? Yeah, I mean, I would be more worried about how much cheesesteak he's going to pound. Well, nope, not Philadelphia. Yeah, look, I don't think hoagie's going to be 20%. I think he'll be, what, 13 or 14. Is putting the biggest stat this week? Yeah, I mean, probably, but like, you also got to remember that anybody can get hot with a putter for a week. So happy golf is back. I'm so happy you're back, Brent. What primary stat will you trust the most this week? Birdies are better gain on easy courses. I need guys who put the ball in the cup in one stroke under par. Best to make our stands in the mid ranges and sprinkle up top. That's what Christian, that started to become my favorite strategy, right? Everybody spends all their time deciding up top and then just sprinkling down low and then just playing 20% of 20% on chalk in the 7Ks. Why don't you go make your stand in the 7Ks and then sprinkle up top, and then you're going to give yourself a much better chance of having the winner. Any returning recent champions to this event? Yeah, there's a lot of them. A lot of them. Matthew Neesmith has won this tournament, right? I think. Am I bullshitting? Who else won this tournament? Now you're done fucking with my mind, boy. Let's go look at tournament history real quick. Tournament history. Let's see. Last year, Tom Kim. I don't even have. Oh, Party Marty won it. Yeah, won me a little bit of money. Yeah, we got so Party Marty and who the hell was that other one? Martin Laird. Let's go. I did a big old fist bump when Marty won me 40,000. That was still pretty early in my career, so that was a big hit. That was like what 19. Why do you think Lucas Herbert priced so high relative to the field? I think they're just using Vegas odds, and that's what's nerfing him. No one loves KH Lee. Yeah, KH Lee is TPC Lee, and this is a TPC course. Check. He'll go. He's got alligator blood. That's right, he does. Stars and scrubs this week. If you jam Aberg Davis, you could start. Yeah, I think so. I don't mind that because there's like two 6K guys I'm all about and one guy in the low 7Ks that I might play in every one of my lineups. Might play him in every lineup. Smash the like button up. We're up to 115 likes. Let's go. Can we almost ignore the around the green stats? That's what I'm doing, but that's also my my experience at the course, right? You also got to remember, I'm like an incredible ball striker, so I basically had a green in regulation every hole, so I wasn't having to scramble very much, except on number 5 and number 6 where I made a quad on both of them because I couldn't even get the ball on the fucking green, okay? There's that. There is that, okay? So maybe I should factor it in a little bit more. The worst part is I made an 8 on number 6 from the middle of the fairway, 145 out. Had a big wind in my face, and I was like, oh, this is probably playing like a 165 shot. Pull my 7-iron, absolutely nut it, and it just goes right through the wind, and then I'm up on that hill on 6, and it really fell apart from there. Heard on another YouTube show that JT Poston hasn't picked up a club since the BMW. Should I fade him? I mean, maybe that he'll go out there and play good. I never buy into those narratives, Richard, ever. DK forgot, woo, someone's sleeping. I mean, we get the interns, man. I disconnected. I'm connecting back. Hope I'm still here. A lot of top guys are going off in the AM. I'm thinking PM AM. If you do that, Steven, that's going to get you off a lot of the chalk. Let's see. Mark Hubbard able to get over the letdown last week? I think so. I mean, he's playing good. Michael, did you know what Kenny's storyline was going? No, I didn't. I literally met Kenny 3 minutes before we went on the air, so we didn't have a lot of time to talk. But I like the dude. Very fun. That was very cool being on there. How many comp courses do you look at when comparing to each course? I'm not a big comp course guy. I'm not. The biggest comp course I look at is, like general stuff, like if they're a short 70 or a long 72 or something like that. Those are things I look at, right? Let's see. We the people. Glad you enjoyed the show. This is the greatest content to exist. Josh, I appreciate that, brother. Who you riding with? You know who I'm going to ride with. All right, let's see. I'm kind of getting in a someone said that's hysterical, right? Well, the problem is I'm running out of all my good ideas here in the fall. Come spring when everybody's watching my fucking show again, I'm not going to have any anything to put on there. Although I had a pretty good one for Oberg, but I didn't want to play him this week, so I didn't do it. It was pretty simple, right? It's the one guy I'm playing, so when I do the damn video, I got to fucking play him, right? All right, Canadians in the desert. Nick Taylor, dude. Nick Taylor just if he wasn't, I was legit thinking about playing Nick Taylor in 100% of my lineups. I love Nick Taylor at Birdie Fest, but then I saw that like he's kind of like getting kind of chalky at low 7K. And what have I told you about low 7K chalk? I just can't do it. As much as I love Nick Taylor, okay? I'm sorry. I can't do it. How many big Harry Hall hats will be this week? I'm projecting one. Benny Ann suspended. Yeah, I hate that. For some cough syrup? I mean, man, let the dude be Macklemore. He wants to get on some purple, all right? Some purple stuff, some drink. All right, can you fade 10Ks and move to Cole and Nikolai? You definitely can. Balance build this week? I don't know, man. You're giving up a lot of win equity when you do that, right? You'd have to really ask yourself who's going to win this tournament, Eduardo, to do that. Excuse me, Edward. I mixed your last two names together. If you put your two names together, you would be Eduardo. I see P. Rogers while I'm in Vegas. Any messages you'd like to pass along? Yeah, see if he wants to come on the show. Iceberg lettuce? No, but let us discuss that further. All right, guys, I think that's it. I encourage you to come check out my site. I hope to see you again on this schedule. I will be doing Thursday Night Football tomorrow for Showdown Hoedown. If you're into NFL, come check it out. College Football Friday night, and of course, my final show next Saturday. But as always, golf will always be number one in my heart. I will be back next Wednesday at 7 o'clock, and Showdown Hoedown will be back in January for golf. Don't you worry your precious little head. I will talk to all of you later. Thank you for being here. Thank you for hitting the like button. It has been real, but for right now, I need you to enjoy this outro, you big pimpin' motherfathers.